WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Stephanie Officer. Some severe weather in the Northeast is causing a domino effect of flight delays and cancellations across the country. There are currently more than 1,700 canceled flights and 9,000 plus delays across the U.S. The most impacted airports include New York's LaGuardia and JFK, Newark, Boston's Logan, and Philadelphia. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has declared a state of emergency, given flash flooding and high levels of rainfall in parts of the state, while urging residents to stay indoors and avoid unnecessary travel. Investigators are on the scene of a horrific fire at the Gabriel House Assisted Living Facility in Fall River, Massachusetts, trying to find out how 9 people died late Sunday night and 30 more were injured and why residents were trapped. ABC's Marcus Moore.
Some residents said the staff response to this fire was inadequate, and in a statement to the Boston Globe, the owner says he's devastated by this tragedy and is cooperating with the investigation. And officials said the fire here at the center does not appear to be suspicious.
This is ABC News. The social media account for a popular Sesame Street character went on a racist and anti-Semitic tirade over the weekend.
The X account for Elmo, the furry red monster from Sesame Street, shared a string of posts Sunday that included racist and anti-Semitic language. At one point, it even commented on the sex trafficking investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. A spokesperson for Sesame Workshop said the disgusting posts were the work of a hacker, and the account has since been secured. The posts have also been taken down. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Last week, an AI chatbot called Grok, which is made by Elon Musk's AI company, also posted a series of since-deleted anti-Semitic content. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo today says he will campaign for New York City mayor as an independent candidate. Cuomo vowing to run against surging progressive Democratic candidate Zohran Mamdani. Cuomo lost to Mamdani in last month's Democratic primary. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Buruh bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Sports, NBA, the Bucks losing to the LA Clippers, 106-91 in summer league action. Bucks GM John Horst asked if he's had any contact with Giannis after all the roster changes they've made.
We talk to Giannis all the time. I'll go visit him after summer league. There's a reason we don't really speculate or talk about any of this stuff ever. Entirely focused on our job. Our job is to build the best team that we can, present that to him, present the vision and the plan, and go and kick ass in the next season.
Baseball, the Brewers drafting 5 new players, 3 pitchers, 2 infielders. The draft continues today. Milwaukee beat the Nationals 8-1 to complete a 3-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But Sal Frelick suffering a hamstring injury after sliding to catch a pop fly in foul territory.
You know, his hamstrings last week, he was feeling it a little bit and cautious and got treated for it. And then when he slid, he felt like it got worse. We recommended he come out of the game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office remains financially healthy thanks to The Man of Steel. Superman was the top dog, to no one's surprise, pulling in $122 million domestically over the weekend and almost another $100 million from overseas. Here at home, that's the third biggest opening of the year. The news was good for DC Comics, as director James Gunn is also the co-head of the whole operation. so they needed this to be a winner. Rounding out the top five were all big-time blockbuster-esque films. Jurassic World Rebirth was the top dog last week and came in second place with 40 million big ones. In its third week of release, F1 delivered 13 million at the box office. And rounding out the fourth and fifth place were kid flicks How to Train Your Dragon, which came in with close to 8 million, and Pixar's Elio, which came in with just under $4 million. Superman is expected to top the charts again next week, as there will be no real competition until The Fantastic Four, First Steps, hits the big screen July 25th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Tonight, mostly clear, warm and muggy, only falling to a low around 70. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, hot and humid, high upper 80s to 90. Storms Tuesday night and Wednesday. Highs drop back into the 70s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and host of the 40-Year-Old Boy podcast, Mike Schmidt. Then local rock duo, 7,000 Apart, joins me to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. Any cut
of because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
What does it mean to begin?
To all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Hey, Dr. Stately's with us today, and then later on we have Maureen Harding. And Hardy, and she will be talking about her company, and so we're excited to have her on. And it's also Big Elders Day coming up, so totally excited to have her on later on. Dr. Stately, welcome as always. Thank you so much for being on and being just the groovy guy that you are.
Bonjour. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, Dr. Stately, I don't want to get like really political right away because I'd love to hear some updates of what's happening at Native American Community Clinic. But I just thought of something that, you know, the community's all upset about, you know, like Florida Alcatraz and all these things that are happening. And they're just going just as far back as the Nazis and Hitler. But, you know, we know where he got that information, and it's all about reservations and Trails of Tears. And I know Ho-Chunk went through their own five Trails of Tears, where we were moved five different times across this continent.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that they don't ever really talk about in the general public is where Hitler got his ideas from. He extracted those ideas really from like the way in which the federal government, the United States government, even before it was a government, their colonial practices were genocidal, and he extracted a lot of that information and how to implement concentration camps and all the other kinds of various forms of poor treatment that he did, and to not just the Jewish people, but pretty much anybody who wasn't white Anglo-Saxon, right? And those ideas were provided to him by, he just studied the history of the way that America treated its native people.
Yeah, I just wanted to lead off with that because I listen to a lot of podcasts and radio during the day, and it always seems to be slipped through their commentary when they're outraged with what's happening, which we are outraged that it's happening to our relatives, our brown and black people all over the United States. But let's get this history clear where this really came from.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that there's a real, the big challenge there is that there's a real benefit to keeping things invisibilized, right? So like when you don't talk about history and you don't talk about it accurately, and you also don't sort of like clarify for people the nature of history and how things really happened over the last several hundred years, it's easy to sort of gloss over. There's a benefit to not mentioning it. There's a benefit to not reminding people of where that came from. It serves the intention or the desire to sort of make America look like they're amazing, right? To make the United States specifically look as though they are heroes and look as though they are, without reproach. And so that's part of it. And then the other part of it is like, you know, it's like just keeping people generally in the dark about the accurate history of your nation provides the opportunity to, brainwash them, and essentially gaslight them. So there's a reason that they do it. There's a reason why it's left out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to let everyone know on Native Roots Radio, I just wanted to bring that up, and I don't know if it's call it out, but just bring it up as a discussion because, you know, we've been here 10,000 years, rustles my feathers a little bit, my turkey feathers, not my eagle feathers, but just a little bit. And so I just wanted to bring that up because I know you are kind of the voice of reason here on Mondays. Ho-wa.
But I think the other part of that is like, so like, you know, how we talk, like when we talk about historical trauma and we talk about the harm that caused to our communities, what we oftentimes are not able to sort of enter into the conversation with, I mean, I've had multiple conversations with people, I've delivered talks and done lectures, and I even taught a class at the University of Washington School of Social Work on historical trauma. Like not paying attention to those things, not talking about historical harms, not talking about the way it looked and the way it was structured within a system of governance and a system of operating within a nation's political structure. Not paying attention to that and being really clear and really accurate about it provides the opportunity for us to think like, well, that's just something that happened hundreds of years ago or 500 years ago. There's no link to those things contemporaneously, currently, right now. And so, it protects, it protects the system from being able to be called out specifically how that's operationalized today. Like historical harm, historical trauma is a series of events, catastrophic events that happened over multiple centuries and generations historically, but it's also happening still today. The systems that created the mechanisms to create those things and support them, institutionalize and make them, part of the state, the way the state operates in government, those things are still at play. Those things are in process today. Many of those things haven't changed. And so, we don't talk a whole lot, or at least our country, our society doesn't talk openly about that. as being a real thing. And the public can say, like, why don't you just get over it? Or it happened so long ago. Well, those things happened long ago, but let's talk about what's happening right now.
Yeah, well, it's funny too, because the perspective of time, I've had some friends, especially recently when Red Lake wanted to get their whole lake, like it was supposed to happen originally, that I've had friends reach out to me, and white friends, and say, you know, I support you, but we've been there for a couple generations, you know, and I just have to kind of chuckle to myself, and like that's a long time.
Well, you know, I mean, we can do like a whole entire couple of shows on this conversation. It's a deep conversation.
It is, but
I've had the same conversations with people that I know that have cabins and stuff like that and reservations in Minnesota. I'm like, just leave your cabin.
Yeah, exactly. Or leave it for me. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're Dr. Stately. We're going to get an update next segment, I promise, on what's happening at Native American Community Clinic. But sorry to drag you in that, but I just was thinking, whoa. But you're the guy to talk to and have sensibility. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Rudy Luther Toyota is the dealer you can trust. Go to rudyluthertoyota.com to browse their inventory of new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Style, performance, and reliability, you can find it all at Rudy Luther. With every new and certified pre-owned vehicle, you'll get a Luther Advantage card. Save 10 cents per gallon at the pump and get $6 Works car washes at Holiday Station stores. That's right, you can get a great vehicle and help stretch your budget even further. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of Indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org. Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, we have our friend Dr. Stately here of Native American Community Clinic, CEO, and it's always great to catch up with you. You are one busy dude, Dr. Stately, and I can't imagine how busy you are now, going right through the middle of construction, or the beginning of construction, I should say.
The beginning. We're not even close to the middle.
Right. That was a slip of the tongue. I've seen that big hole, but I see pylons in there now, and that's very important to keep the building steady. Tell our listeners how they can support you, and a little update, support the clinic, and a little update of what's happening.
Oh, sure. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah, so we broke ground in our building last month, and, you know, it was in first week in June. And thankfully, we haven't had any significant, drawbacks and due to weather or anything like that. So it's been a really nice, I think that there was a couple weeks ago where it was it rained for like 2 or 3 days straight. Mm-hmm. We were pretty anxious that that would be too wet for us to do anything, but it dried up pretty quickly actually. And we haven't ran into any challenges so far, which is good. So we're a little bit ahead of schedule, which is great. I just want to be ahead of schedule. I think one of the things I would say is that, you know, the exciting moment for me was when they put up the crane, you know, get this big, huge crane. They're putting in the infrastructure for the crane. I think last week, middle of the week, I think when I was on site, because I was off site on Wednesday and Thursday for meetings. And then I was coming back from St. Paul on Friday, and a meeting I went to early in the morning, straight to the meeting, and then came to the clinic right after that. And I looked up and I saw on the crane, and I saw the big, huge American flag.
Hopefully it was upside down.
No, that was my first thought. I was like, okay, I'm going to have to tell them to put it upside down. But, yeah. You know, our partners who are non-Indigenous, you know, they're like, you know, so we're trying to train them and teach them and stuff. But we actually ask them to, you know, I'm like, you know, it's not that we're anti-American, but I think, you know, part of it is like, you know, there's the American flag now has some, you know, contentious sort of, you know, things that are attached to it in our communities and also across the United States. And that's been true for a while, but it's especially a heated conversation given today's context in the current administration and all of the things that are happening as a result of that. And so I was like, well, you know, I would really like you to have the Minnesota flag up there, if I had to be honest. And I'd like a couple, like, you know, I really wanted to go really far. Like, can you put all of the 11 nations flags on that crane? There's certainly enough room. You know, there's
right.
People all the way back, which I would think would be really, really cool. But anyway, busy conversation to have with them, and you know, they made it happen very easily and very quickly. Like within a day it was changed, and I said we don't want to we're not here to scold you, we're here to help you understand like why that is a challenging issue for our community, right? Mm-hmm. And I almost asked them to turn the flag upside down, but that would actually be create other problems, I would think, of a different nature. But the project is coming along really well. I think, you know, we've had a couple of like small little blips here and there, but I think I might have mentioned this to you, like about 3 weeks ago, we had Buffalo Heart ceremony where we buried a buffalo heart at the center of the clinic, which was a beautiful experience. Really, really small ceremony. There's not a whole lot of people involved. But one of the things that I loved, Barry Hand, Dakota elder, was our ceremonial man, was our intercessor. He kind of led the ceremony. And one of the things that I loved about my conversation with him when we first started having a conversation about doing a ground blessing ceremony, right? White people prioritize groundbreaking and celebrating that, which is fine. We did mm-hmm. the thing. I wanted to bury our prayers at the center of where we're building our new building. Back on the Equinox, we had this beautiful ceremony where all of our staff and some of our board members and some people from the community that are just, you know, have strong connections to the clinic came. They offered their prayers on the spring equinox, and we put them into a bundle, and we buried that bundle with a buffalo heart in June on the summer solstice. Mm-hmm. And that was important to me because it really aligned with the idea of like we're giving thanks to Uinchimaka, to Mother Earth, for allowing us to build this thing here, allowing us to create this project that's going to support our community and our people for multiple generations. And we want to express gratitude, and we also want to ask for prayers for nobody gets hurt during construction, and nobody and people are it's a place where people find a place to heal, to congregate and socialize and get support. And they come there for when they're happy, when they're joyous, when they want to celebrate, when they grieve and they're in mourning. We want to be a source of support to them in all these ways. And so that was a really beautiful ceremony, and it was led by youth. So what I loved was, like, you know, the young people, they buried the heart, they did all the things, while the rest of us kind of watched over them and kind of guided them. And what I loved about that is that, you know, the youth really are the future leaders of our community over the next several generations. Mm-hmm. It's our responsibility every single time we have one of these things, that an opportunity, is that we're teaching them the responsibilities that they will hold in their adulthood and in their elderhood. And they'll pass those teachings and those responsibilities on to their young people. It's really important to sort of make sure that that was done. And so it was just a beautiful day, and it was really an emotional moment to me. You know, more than like all of the other things that are going on around the construction project, that specific event was something that made me feel really, really good about what we're doing. I knew there was an eagle flying above us for a period of time, and it was just a beautiful experience knowing that, you know, we didn't publish this, we didn't talk about it, we didn't like tell people, okay, we just had a small little ceremony where we did the things that we needed to do.
You know, it's interesting, you as being the great leader you are here in the community, these things that you do, and then I do, and I did for my nation, will be enjoyed for generations long after we're gone. And I think bringing that up, talking about selfless things, you know, that we've been taught and that you teach and your organization works on, is a beautiful thing, because you know, you talk about the youth, but we also talk about what we're leaving the youth. And this clinic is just going to be something that'll be going on for generations after we're gone.
Yeah, we talk about it, we speak about it as our seventh generation project. It's like, we, you know, we created a building and a footprint that has a net zero impact on the environment. We have, you know, we're trying to create a zero carbon footprint. That's really important. When, you know, South Minneapolis is like one of the most polluted areas in the Twin Cities, you know, and that has direct impact on our and the environmental health. What we do, it's like, you know, the phrase, you know, what we do to the earth, we do to ourselves. Well, you know, if we can be a beacon and a shining light and encouraging new projects to take responsibility, like do something to heal the earth, do something to heal the environment. That's one of the ways that we take care of ourselves. What we do to the earth, we do to ourselves. And so it was a really intentional process in that, in the creation of that building, to do that, because we wanted, not only because it would lower the cost of living for the people that lived in the housing above the clinic, and allow them to, you know, use their resources to support the building of the rebuilding of their lives, and support their ongoing livelihood. It was a good thing to do for the earth and for the community, to not contribute to, you know, harming people's health by creating more waste and more carbon footprint.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I just want to give you a shout out too, because that's the next seven generations. I know you and I know about that, but I wanted to give you a shout out here on Native Roots Radio.
It's a good reminder. Like, we're all the seventh generation, like you say on the radio. We're here because somebody thought about us.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Stately, I really, really appreciate you coming on, as always. Great segment, and hope to see you soon. And thank you so much for being on.
Thank you. I'll see you soon. Take care.
Sounds good. Thanks. See you later. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Some severe weather in the Northeast is causing a domino effect of flight delays and cancellations across the country. There are currently more than 1,700 canceled flights and 9,000-plus delays across the U.S. The most impacted airports include New York's LaGuardia and JFK, Newark, Boston's Logan, and Philadelphia. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has declared a state of emergency, given flash flooding and high levels of rainfall in parts of the state, while urging residents to stay indoors and avoid unnecessary travel. Investigators are on the scene of a horrific fire at the Gabriel House Assisted Living Facility in Fall River, Massachusetts, trying to find out how 9 people died late Sunday night and 30 more were injured and why residents were trapped. ABC's Marcus Moore.
Some residents said the staff response to this fire was inadequate, and in a statement to the Boston Globe, the owner says he's devastated by this tragedy and is cooperating with the investigation. And officials said the fire here at the center does not appear to be suspicious.
This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks lose to L.A.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks losing to the L.A. Clippers, 106-91 in summer league action. Bucks GM John Horst asked if he's had any contact with Giannis after all the roster changes they've made.
We talk to Giannis all the time. I'll go visit him after summer league. You know, there's a reason we don't really speculate or talk about any of this stuff ever. Entirely focused on our job. Our job is to build the best team that we can, present that to him, present the vision and the plan, and go and kick ass in the next season.
Baseball, the Brewers drafting 5 new players, 3 pitchers, 2 infielders. The draft continues today. Milwaukee beat the Nationals 8-1 to complete a 3-game sweep heading into the All-Star break. But Sal Frelick suffering a hamstring injury after sliding to catch a pop fly in foul territory.
You know, his hamstrings last week, he was feeling it a little bit and cautious and got treated for it. And then when he slid, he felt like it got worse. We recommended he come out of the game.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Do I recommend Superman? Sort of. As a video, it rocks. But as a movie, I guess it's still just okay. First, the good. James Gunn keeps the action and story moving along nicely. The film relies on what we already know about Superman, his adoptive parents in Kansas, and Lex Luthor, who in this installment resembles a certain billionaire. The filmmakers choose to go right to the bells and whistles, i.e. action, music, and some stunning effects. They even introduce a character that looks like it stumbled into the wrong movie from Jurassic World. There were a few other tangential issues I had, including a couple Daily Planet reporters who didn't even need to be in the film. And with a total of about 5 lines, actor Wendell Pierce as Perry White had absolutely nothing to do in the film. But Pierce is a great actor and deserves the residual checks coming his way. The main players, David Cornsweet and Rachel Brosnahan, are great as Superman and Lois. Having said that, there is definitely enough cinematic energy in this movie to make the theater-going experience more fun than watching it at home. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels.
Tonight, mostly clear, warm and muggy, only falling to a low around 70. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, hot and humid, high upper 80s to 90. Storms Tuesday night and Wednesday. Highs drop back into the 70s. Right now, we're at 83 degrees.
Matt and Air on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll be on our first leg of our tour with Jane and Greg at their home at Radio City Park in Racine, along with Zommers and Kringle. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, thanks a lot, Wendy. Hey, Marn Hardy, good to see you. Thank you so much for coming on. We got a lot to talk about here and appreciate you coming on. And tell us a little bit about, you're the co-founder of Spirit Care Services. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then let's get into what's coming up here soon. Big, big elder. Now that I'm an elder, I can go to these things.
Hi, hi everybody. So this is...
Can you hear us?
I can hear you much better now. It was so weird.
Okay. Well, welcome and tell us a little bit about Spirit Care Services. And then we're going to talk a little bit about a big event coming up. Can you hear us?
Absolutely. So, it seems like it's like a 10 second delay. So let's try it. And I might have to log back in. But hey, everybody. So I'm Marn Hardy, and I am a co-founder of Spirit Care Services.
Wait. That's cool. Marn, why don't you leave and come back? I think
I will.
A delay.
I'll do that right now.
And then Wendy and I will tell jokes to each other while you're coming back.
Hey, Wendy. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's just one of those technical glitches, and you just get on, and there's a default, and you can't hear somebody, or there's a delay. So yeah, what are you gonna do? So yeah. Well, I'm gonna remind everybody, it's really, really hot out there. Place some water pans out there for the wildlife. I had a little squirrel doing a froggy, laying
definitely.
Down on the deck like a frog. So okay,
can you hear us okay now?
I can hear you so much better. I think you know what it was. I had my own Facebook page playing just to make sure I could listen to Dr. Stately and getting ready around my house. And I think that's what the overplay was. So bonjour, everybody. Hey, Wendy.
Hi. Hey,
thanks so much for coming on. And let's talk about Spirit Care and what services you give to our elders, and then talk about the big event that's coming up. And we haven't had you on in a long time, so it's great to see you.
Thank you. I missed you guys. Although I would see you guys at your events and Franklin Avenue, walking down to get you a little Indian taco from Mr. Rice.
Yeah.
So Spirit Care Services is a health provider company that my best friend and I started almost 3 years ago. And it was to focus mostly on Native American elders who were lacking in services, especially for our low-income elders. My grandmother being a boarding school survivor, our elders, with historical trauma and not wanting to ask or speak up for services that they know they need to help them stay in their homes longer. That is one of the biggest things that Spirit Care really wants to focus on, is homemaking, transportation, and companion care. And as we all know, in the Phillips community or any low income neighborhood, it's hard out there for an elder. And to get anywhere to do household chores, to walk to the store or get groceries or anything like that. So Spirit Care is really focusing on making sure our elders not only have transportation to get these services done, but they have great caregivers to make sure that they're with them. The isolation with their children being in these encampments or on opioids or losing a child to this opioid crisis, it's a huge deal for us to make sure our elders get these great, and I can't stress the word great enough, how wonderful our caregivers are. One of our best mottos is where Spirit Care Services, where clients become family. And it's kind of the roles are reversed, because they become our family. You know, it's to see these elders work with their caregivers and see the change in their lives is really.
Oh, she just froze. Wow.
That is amazing.
It really is amazing. You know, when people get old and they don't have money, like she said, you know, the poorest people who are elderly can't access certain services. And I remember my grandma, she was living on her Social Security check, and she would take, you know, Metro Mobility, that Medicaid would pay for. But this is really a wonderful service that they're providing.
Yeah, definitely. Maren's back with us.
Yes.
Wendy was just saying what a great service you're giving our elders. How can people find out more about this and sign up their elders?
I did send you the link earlier, but if people go to spiritcareservices.com, there is a link there. There is my phone number. If people don't have my phone number, I think everyone in the hood pretty much has my number. It's the same number I've had for years when I was doing outreach. And it's just, you know, when we have elders who tell you, I don't want to go outside because I look with my walker, because I look vulnerable, that's a problem.
Wow.
And I'll tell you, dealing with some of these insurance companies and case managers who, A, have never met their client, and B, have never even been to South Minneapolis, the Phillips community, that's a problem, mm-hmm. you know, because these elders deserve as much help and assistance to stay in their homes as anybody. And when they don't even know about some of these services, that's a huge problem for me. And, you know, I get this from my mom and my sister, is I don't play nice with bullies because they're not good people. And I feel like that is exactly a great description of an insurance company. And when they, you know, don't want to give them transportation because they have a bus card, okay, that's great. But there's an encampment on the corner of the bus shelter where everyone in the bus shelter is doing drugs. Where are they supposed to go? So I just feel like this is such a service that in our Native community, we don't have a day center, a Native American day center. We don't have a Native American assisted living facility. You know, we don't have these services. We have the wonderful congregate dining at the Indian Center. We have powwow grounds, which is awesome, but we don't have just one specific thing for elders in our community. So we really want to focus, again, not only on Native American elders, but low-income elders or anybody with a waiver who needs these services. And it's just such a forgotten issue with us that, and I know I'm very repetitive when I say this, but none of us would be here without the guidance of an elder. And it's so easy to forget that. And with Spirit Care, we're bringing back the fact that we need to recognize this fact, and we all are going to be old. We all are going to get there, and we all want the best care for our family, our parents. But what about the parents who are the elders who don't have anybody? Who's going to help them?
Exactly. Wow. That's.
So how do you find these elders? Do you find them from younger, like somebody like you're talking about who may not have any family? Mm-hmm. How would they find you?
Well, for one, I did elder advocacy work for the Division of Indian Work for almost 10 years. So, and I ran the food shelf there for 10 years. And so if anybody knows me, they know that I speak out about everything. When I was in recovery, a recovery coach, when I was doing outreach, when I worked for Gozi at the wall and a navigator, when I was doing homeless response coordination, I speak up about injustice that I see. I just don't know how not to. You know, I don't understand how people don't see that sort of stuff. So when I see elders, my first thought is, do you have a waiver? Do you know about these waivers? Do you need help? Who's your insurance company? And I have the best team. You know, my business partner who does all the legwork, all the heavy work. I just do the talking. Maxine, she does all the important stuff. But it's just about getting to these communities, you know, getting to the public housings, getting to our elder housing, Beat Again, Elders Lodge, St. Paul Homes in South Minneapolis, some of these assisted livings that are waivered oriented, that we just ask them, do you have a waiver? Do you have anyone helping you? How do you maintain taking out your trash, or how do you get to the store? A lot of these, they go, I can take the bus, and absolutely not. Or Metro Mobility, they're, you know, I don't care for them very much because they stand up a lot of our clients, our elders. They don't like to come into Phillips community, and our elders are left to navigate getting to the food shelf with five bags of food. How do you get home on the bus? You know, my dad still works at the Division of Indian Work and gives people rides home and hands out my card like Skittles. So it's about community, and in our community, we really look out for each other. And the word of mouth about Spirit Care is really, really taking on a form of its own. And then we'll talk about the Elders Day, but that's a huge day. I just talked at a table at Wisdom Steps.
Yeah.
And that was great up in White Earth, my reservation. So it's word of mouth, Wendy, is really big.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That really makes sense.
That's awesome. That's a talk a little segue into this big event, because I want to have you on a couple times before this event. Because it's really important for Native Roots Radio to amplify the good things that are happening in our community, and also the people that are listening to us all over the country, you know, either get jealous or they open up their own programs like this. But right. Talk about what's coming up here.
Sure. So thank you, Robert. So we are, and this is in coordination with the Division of Indian Work, Sheena Benitez, who runs the Grandparents Raising Grandchildren group. And this is the second annual Native American Elders Day. Last year, my co-host was Diane Grooms, who does Native Elder Games. And this year, we have a great committee, myself, Maxine, Sheena, Barb Benjamin, Wabin Spears from Mille Lacs, Barb is from Wisdom Steps, Jackie Wilson, I know I'm probably forgetting people, Diane Grooms. We have an amazing committee that last year we hosted this, and we had about 250, 270 elders from across the tribal area, the state, the urban area. And then White Earth brought a bus down. Mille Lacs brought a bus down. Boys Fort, Fond du Lac brought buses down. This year, we are expecting to increase that hopefully by 150 or more. Mille Lacs has generously stepped up and offered discounted room rates at their West End Doubletree for that night for $49 a night for our elders coming down. I've talked to Toby up in Grand Portage, and we want to get all the elders down here. We were the talk of the conference at Wisdom Steps, I must say. So it was pretty exciting, because a lot of Red Lake elders who I've already reached out to and have talked to Marlene over at Red Lake, but they heard about it after, and they saw pictures and were super disappointed. I mean, we know as well as anybody how much our elders really love community. They love gathering. They like to see who's still around. Yeah. And I'll talk again after this, if I'm still able to, about some of the vendors that we're using, about who's making our incredible t-shirts. And this is just such a fun deal. I'll go into more details, but this is just, they started asking Barb Benjamin about this at the start of the year.
Well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and finish up with you. This is really exciting, Wendy.
Yeah, wow. Stay with us.
Hey, Native Roots Radio.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The easy all-in-one plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs, and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis Air dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis Air on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NAGDI. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NAGDI.org.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunt.
No!
Oh.
Right on. Hey, we're here with Marn Hardy, co-founder of Spirit Care Services, and we're talking about this big event. I just wanted to get it at the end of the segment for a little teaser so people stay on and listen. Oh, wow. So let's talk a little bit where and when and how and a little more of the history if you want.
Absolutely. So it is the date, September 17th from 10 to 3. The location is Veterans Park in Richfield. And just if you can see behind me, I don't know if you guys can, we've got our proclamations that we got last year from Jacob Fry, the mayor of Minneapolis, and from our lieutenant governor, signed by our Governor Walz last year, and the last 2 years. We've had these amazing t-shirts made by No Words Concepts, No Words LLC in Minneapolis. If you need, it's a small business, homegrown, from a Southside Minneapolis young man who is amazing, does great work. We flew in an Elvis impersonator from Las Vegas. He is back by popular demand. We have Grant Snyder from Involve MN who will be doing the cooking. Leech Lake has donated wild rice. American Indian Community Development Corporation is paying for the Red Lake walleye. We have awesome raffle prizes, gifts. We have amazing vendors coming. There's too many at this short time to name, but we will have probably about 50 vendors. We have all the urban agencies coming. We have many shields volunteering to help serve, which is awesome. I'm hoping to get Teen Challenge involved to help serve. Our goal is to have a day of just elder appreciation. That's it. And it's just where they don't lift a finger, get prizes, get t-shirts, have fun. Jerry Dearley's our MC. Yeah. It's just, if you haven't been there last year, you can go to WCCO Red Chapman last September, I believe it was the 18th, and see the excerpt of the coverage that we got for it.
That's amazing.
It really is.
That is really amazing. I guess I really missed out. I was working. But this year I'm not a legislator anymore, Wendy.
Yeah. What day of the week is it, Lauren?
It's a Wednesday. It's Wednesday. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
because for our elders raising their grandchildren, we want them to come by themselves. We want this is just for the elder. This is just for them to sit back, play bingo, have some raffle prizes, enjoy each other. And hopefully it was very warm last year. So we're hoping it can still be in low 70s September. But gosh, it was 87 last year. It was very warm. So
wow. So it's outdoors. Okay.
Cool.
Yes.
Sounds like a wonderful event.
And I have your website on the bottom scrolling, but we are a radio show. I wonder if you can get that out. It's SpiritCareServices.com and people
SpiritCareServices.com. And if you just go to our website, there is a link to donate, a donate button. You click on that button and we are actively looking for donations, actively looking for volunteers. This takes a community event. I mean, when we have hopefully about 400 elders this year, it takes a village to do this, including the setup, the serving, the tablecloths, the takedown, the it's just, but it's so much fun. I mean, it is so fun to see these elders come together, knowing we should have once a month do this, but yeah. And, you know, to know that Spirit Care and the Division of Indian Work and the different Spirit Care services is making in the community, because we'll be doing, we're branching off now to medical transportation to help with medical rides. I would like to talk to IHB. I'd like to talk to Dr. Stately about partnering with them, mm-hmm. because our elders shouldn't have to worry about how they're going to get to their appointments. It's just not okay that they sitting at home and worried about these things when they're already having these later in life issues. So,
wow, this
it really is amazing. Yeah, I was, you know, during the when you went off and on again, I was telling the audience about my elderly grandmother, and she used Metro Mobility, you know, when she got elderly and we were all working, so we couldn't, you know, bring her to the appointment, but she had pretty good you know, results with that, but when she went to the grocery store, she was only allowed to bring, you know, two bags with her, because that's all she could carry anyway, you know, and then we would help her on the weekends when we could. But yeah, it's just really, you know, you come into life as a baby and you need help. And then when you leave and you get, you know, elderly, you need help. It's just, you know,
it's a big circle, right?
Yeah, it really is.
The circle of life, really, yeah. Wendy and Robert, it really is. And again, and I can't stress this enough, none of us would be here without the help of an elder, none of us. And it's so easy to forget that when we have our own lives and our own stuff, things going on in our and on our plate. And especially in our community, we know how difficult it is that for our grandparents having to ask for help because of the fear of losing something in the process.
Yeah.
And the historical trauma proves that they don't like asking because what gets taken away, right? And so for yeah. Spirit Care, I don't have boundaries. So for my elders, I get phone calls, I get text messages 7 days a week. I drove an elder this morning to the airport to go home. He's not Native. He's Indigenous to Panama, but I drove him to the airport at 3:30 this morning. Yeah. Because he didn't know how to do that. So this is what we do. And we're getting the reputation of going above and beyond because it's what all of us should be doing, right? And the people that I know, the people in my circle already do. Mm-hmm. And I cannot stress how wonderful our employees are. These are gems. Like on our, you know, and me having a background in a past and being in recovery, we always give second chances. And this is what it's about though, especially in our community and the things that we face, the barriers as Native people face. And so it's just super important that people realize that this takes a community, it takes a village. And with Spirit Care, we love it. It's like, you know what they say, when you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life, right? Well, mm-hmm. for the past 3 years, I haven't worked. It's hard and it's challenging and it's stressful. But when you have an elder thank you and write you a card and say, or call you and say, I pray for you every day and I'm grateful for Spirit Care. That's all. That's what this is about. That's it.
Wow. This has been an emotional show for me today.
Right.
I know. Seriously. It's crazy. So one more time on the dates and where it's going to be.
Yep. So it is September 17th. It is going to be from 10 to 3 at Veterans Park in Richfield, Minnesota. And if people, the phone number for Spirit Care is 612-295-0224. That's our main line number, but my cell phone's is on my card. But again, it's September the 17th from 10 to 3. All elders, if you need transportation, that's a big one. We provide transportation to this. We don't want anybody to miss it at all.
Wow. Well, Maren, I got to get you on the show again just before a week beforehand so people can remember about this. This is, this has just been amazing, and I really appreciate you being on.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you both, you and Wendy, and everything you guys do for our community also. And anytime you need me on here, let me know. You know, I don't shy away from the camera.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you so much. Have a great day. And
thanks, you
know
guys,
what?
Too. Gigawabba.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, State Senator Jamie Wall, Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area, and Chad Holmes recaps his poker tourney action in Vegas.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter, experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky met with U.S. Special Envoy for Ukraine and Russia in Kyiv, General Keith Kellogg, today, after President Trump said he would provide Patriot air defense systems to Ukraine for use against Russian drone and missile attacks. Zelensky calling the meeting with retired Kellogg productive and thanked President Trump for his support.
We are thankful to President Trump for his all messages and very strong decisions about resuming deliveries for us. And we are thankful for bipartisan support.
Police say some of Beyoncé's unreleased music, along with footage, show plans, and concert set lists, were stolen from a car in Atlanta, rented by the singer's choreographer and one of her dancers. The theft of the five thumb drives happened on July 8th, 2 days before Beyoncé began a 4-day residency at Atlanta's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. This is ABC News.